from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you, and by support from the Central Indiana Community Foundation, the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll meet Jack Freiberger, a school teacher and an actor with a one-man show about education.
Matt Sosi joins us for a chat with music producer Richard Probst.
I'll find out what's new at the Writers' Center of Indiana. Plus, there's our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Originally from Indianapolis, Jack Freiberger is back home again to present his one-man show, They Call Me Mr. Fry, at the Indy Fringe. Freiberger's show is the true life story of a first-year teacher, Mr. Fry, in South Central Los Angeles, teaching a fifth-grade class. Travis DiNicola chatted with Mr. Fry and with Pauline Moffitt from the Indy Fringe.
Pauline, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Travis.
And Jack, welcome to Art of the Matter. It's great to have you here in Indianapolis.
Well, it's great to be here again. I love it here.
Good. Well, welcome home. You grew up here, right? Went to Park Tudor?
I went here, went to Park Tudor, and I graduated in 1902. And I love coming back to Indianapolis, especially I love coming back this time of year because it's so beautiful. The falls, just, they rivet me.
Well, you're back for a pretty cool reason, presenting your one-man show, They Call Me Mr. Fry. You've been working on this show, I know, in a number of versions over the years, but it basically connects back to your work as you are a school teacher as well.
Yes.
You're an actor and a teacher.
Correct. I am.
And
discharged.
Are you still a teacher? Do you still teach?
Well, when people ask me that, I like to say to them, well, come and see my show and find out where I am exactly. But basic along and short of it, yes, but it's a little more to that answer now.
You're doing a lot more performing and traveling and such, but the show really started from your work as a school teacher in California. Tell me about that.
Well, I got my credential in California, and the show particularly talks about a moment in my career when I was teaching as a first-year teacher, fifth grade in South Central Los Angeles. And the show, I would say, is basically about my relationship with two challenging students and how we affected each other's lives, and also chronicles my journey through the bowels of the Los Angeles Unified School District. But there's also a spiritual element to the show. It's a story about redemption, transformation story. It's about the fragility of life. What are we doing on this planet? And are we here? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? And about everyday heroes like our teachers, and it's sort of a love letter to them.
The show, it sounds like, came out in part of your experiences of performing in the classroom as well. I understand you aren't shy of doing a magic trick or a balloon animal or some ventriloquism.
Yes. Well, you did your research. I'm impressed.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the show.
Yeah, I would say I'm unorthodox. But teacher, but you know, learning is the main objective. I mean, that's. But I have my own style and way of getting through to the children. That's worked for me. But you know, it's. So I think L.A. Examiner said I was the Patch Adams of education. So I don't know if that's true or not, but.
Well, now I've got to ask you. I mean, when you went out to L.A., did you go out there expecting to be a teacher, or expecting to be an actor? I mean, most people go out to L.A. to be an actor.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got to admit, I mean, being a teacher was a plan B.
Okay.
But a plan A was to go out there and be an actor, but I couldn't sustain a living, and I enjoyed going to teaching. I really loved teaching, and so I went into that and fell into that for, you know, 6.5 straight years, and just thought I was going to do that for the rest of my life, and then this show kept scratching me and gnawing at me. And so I had to come up with this.
What was that like? I mean, at what point were you, you know, I mean, going to work as a teacher one day and thought, wait a second, you know, I'm not just going to my job. I'm going to a factory to create what could be a great show here.
Well, that's another good question. Yeah, I actually, the school that I've noticed, in all cases it seems, is a natural arena for drama.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the schools and shows and things, and I felt that I wanted to tell the, you know, the teacher's story, you know, mm-hmm. what the teacher goes through, and especially this is a first year teacher story, so when you first go out there, and I went to Park Tudor, it's a lot different than 117th Street in South Central Los Angeles, and so you're a little,
I would imagine,
little, yeah. So one is a little bit caught off balance by the mm-hmm. situations and the different things that lives that they've experienced. So that's probably one of the themes. It's a transformation story for the teacher.
Mm-hmm. And now the show that you've been doing, we alluded to that, sort of gone through a couple different versions and such. But tell me about it now, as far as how you've evolved the show. And I know you've toured it to many fringe festivals, as well as other locations around the country.
Yeah, I first started doing the show, first version of it was actually way back in 2001. And then I went, after that experience, I went back to teaching, taught for full time for 6.5 years. Always sort of nod, I had a really good show. And finally, I decided that I was going to bring it back again on the spring of 87. I started putting it back together, and I've been doing my first show since the fall of 07. And the difference, I would say the heart of the show is pretty much the same as it used to be, but the only difference is now that I've had the experience of working with No Child Left Behind, there's a weave in there, and mm-hmm. the parameters of the show are just much stronger. And I worked with three different directors, and I've done like 130 rewrites of the show, so
wow.
It's like...
Yeah. Well, I saw your subtitle now for the show is Where No Teacher Is Left Behind.
Yeah, Where No Teacher.
Teacher,
yeah.
Now, your director, tell me about the current director of the show.
Well, Jeff Michalski mm-hmm. is a Second City alum, legend. He's been really, really great working with the show. His comedy is outstanding. He's really helped me with the comedy of the show. That's a really strength of his. And... so I bring him whenever I can afford him, you mm-hmm. know, to bring him in. So I've been working with him for a couple of years, and I've worked with other very creative people on the show. Tom Blomquist, who has worked in television for the last 30 years, directing and writing television, who's also a great mentor of mine, has taken a deep interest in the show, and he helped me a lot in creative patches and Mitch Usher was also another really great director who's been around and has been able to show off his directing talents and with awards that he's won through the years.
So you're back in Indianapolis, your hometown, and you've brought your show to the for 3 weekends at the Indie Fringe. Pauline, I'm going to bring you in the conversation here for a minute. Pauline, you just got off of a very successful Indie Fringe event, a great 10 days back in August with some just amazing shows. Congratulations.
And thank you, Indianapolis, for continuing to support the Fringe. It really was fantastic this year, and we had some great shows.
Well, you did. You did, and yet you continue on. I mean, that's one of the things that the Fringe has done. It evolves, it seems, each year beyond just the 10-day, 250-some performances. Now you're doing things throughout the year. You've got your own building, the Indie
wonderful.
Fringe building, mm-hmm. which is where Jack is going to be.
Well, we couldn't accommodate Jack in the Fringe Festival because our shows only go for an hour. So when we talked on the telephone and I found out it was a 90-minute show, I said, well, you know, we can't do this. And he said, well, but I really want to bring it to Indianapolis. So this was way back in April, and mm-hmm. I just happened to be in Los Angeles. So we met. I talked to him. I was enthused for the message that he was going to bring to Indianapolis. And as the mother of a first-year teacher, my son...
I didn't realize that.
...who wanted to be a race driver and is now a music teacher, our dreams, actor, race driver, you know, at some point they have to earn a living. So I could actually empathize with this great message that was part of the show. And we knew that, you know, our building would be finished and we were ready to take on other fringe shows that we couldn't accommodate during the festival.
So people can get information, tickets, all that stuff through the Indie Fringe website?
IndieFringe.org, yes.
Or MrFry.com, too.
Exactly.
And MrFry.
I had to throw that in real quick.
No. That's absolutely great. Now, the show, as you said, Pauline, is a 90-minute show, and it involves videos a part of it, too, as well.
It's a multimedia presentation. And, yeah, I bring certain aspects of the show that are important, such as student artifacts, and there's short little video clips at the beginning and the ending, but that ties into the story of what I'm telling.
What is your I know, of course, people need to go see the show to find out, but really, what is your sort of essential message about education that you're trying to convey through this show?
You know, there's so many different teaching methods, and there's so many different, all the money thrown into education and all the assessments and everything that and there's a sort of an anti-teacher thing going on with, you know, we only pay you this and we pay you that, and you're not good. The teacher doesn't give it, student a good grade, or, the student doesn't earn it or whatever. It's the teacher's fault, and we're going to dock you or we're going to pay you more. And it's just, that's the teacher's just a slice of the pie of the whole teacher, and a very important slice indeed. But I would say that the message, there's many of them. It's a complicated answer. So is the teacher really... The way children really learn is through the talents of a teacher. One of the aspects is certainly
excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the show. It sounds like a show that parents and teachers and administrators should all go to.
And students.
And students.
And don't forget the students. I think it's really important to see that perspective from the teacher's point of view.
Teachers are people, too.
Thank you.
I just reminded me of that story. You know, my wife was saying that when she was a kid, the first time that she ran into her teacher at a grocery store and was just devastated to find out that, her teacher bought groceries.
Actually ate.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, but they're not supposed to. It's like, no, they're just people, too. So, yeah. Well, Jack, it's a real pleasure. Pauline, thanks so much for coming into our
Travis.
Thank you so much, Travis.
Travis DiNicola with actor Jack Freiberger and the Indie Fringes. Pauline Moffitt. The show, They Call Me Mr. Fry, takes place at the Indie Fringe Theater. The Fringe Theater is just off of Mass Ave at 719 East St. Clair Street. That's 719 East St. Clair Street. Shows are at 7:30 on Friday and Saturday and 3 o'clock on Sunday through October 18th. And you can visit IndieFringe.org for more information. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Richard Probst is a man who gets results by taking care of the task firsthand. He's the executive producer and compilation co-producer of an album called Give a Girl a Chance, which will benefit the Indiana Coalition Against Domestic Violence, the New Community Project, and the Young Peacemakers Film Festival. Matthew Soucy spoke with Propes about the beginnings of his organization, Tenderness Tour, and how he collected the music for this album.
Tell us about the Tenderness Tour.
I started the Tenderness Tour in 1989. It was a 41-day, 1,000-mile wheelchair tour around the state of Indiana. The goal was to bring awareness and to raise some funds in the area of child abuse prevention. And I got back from that tour kind of realizing the power that one person could have to make a difference in the world. And so I've just kept touring every year since then. And I've done three tours to Chicago, Cincinnati, Lexington, Kentucky. And of course I'm in my 20th year now.
Well, obviously you're one piece, but how was that as far as traveling and, you know, did people know you were coming to town or did you just, you know, meet with folks along the way?
A little bit of both. Obviously it's a little bit of a novelty. You know, mm-hmm. a guy in a wheelchair is going to travel to your city by wheelchair. What I find is I always write towns in advance, and they frequently don't believe me. And so I'll arrive
and show up.
Exactly. And then I show up, and they're left to figure out, okay, now what do we do? Fortunately, you know, after 20 years, I've kind of gotten a reputation. I do show up. I do finish what I say I'm going to do. Exactly. I'm rather relentless. And so people these days tend to believe me.
But they still won't serve you at the drive-thru.
They still won't serve me at the drive-thru.
That burns.
I've tried that before, just for fun.
Well, so have I with friends. Anyway. I'm sorry, that's not part of this program.
That's all right.
So, all right, with that in mind, how did the idea come about of making an album? Because I know there was a period in the 90s where every other cause had an album of some kind. And I'm not saying you missed the boat, but... No, seriously, he's a good guy. But how did this compilation come about for you?
Well, actually, before the tour, my very first fundraiser was an arts festival.
Okay.
It was a 24-hour arts festival at the Arlington Theater when it was the Ritz Music Hall, slightly before it became the Ace Hardware.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed it, even though I wasn't very good at it.
That's the main point.
I had a lot of fun. We did raise some money. The owner at the time, Bob McCutcheon, who mm-hmm. most folks in local music know, had agreed that if I could book 24 hours of entertainment, he would donate the theater. And he didn't think I could do it. Well, I did.
Of course you did.
And everybody showed up, so which really blew his mind. So he donated the theater. Which allowed us to turn a profit mm-hmm. and make a donation. And I recalled how much fun I had doing that. And I've always had I was a drama major at IUPUI, so I've always had friends in the arts. And even though I've kind of gotten away from that, as I'm getting older and I'm moving away from the wheeling, I was looking for a way that I could get back to the arts and still make a difference. And I had shared with a friend, actually Patchwork, who's on the CD, mm-hmm. About my idea, that maybe I could do this, and it would be fun. And it started off as a small project, and they thought, oh, let's try it. So we did.
And especially with a compilation, since there are 19 different artists,
yeah,
that's 19 different paths to take. You talk about going from Indy to Chicago. How were these trips?
Exactly. I mean, we have incredible diversity here, though if you listen to the lyrics, you'll find there's a lot of common ground in these artists. Even though the genres are certainly quite diverse, the lyrics are pretty powerful and very consistent with the Tenderness Tour's theme.
Now, were these songs that they wrote specifically for this, or was it, or were some pulled out from their own songbook, or both?
All of them were pulled out from their own songbook, except for Henry Lee Summers. Henry Lee Summers has a song on the CD called Little by Little mm-hmm. that he had previously written but never recorded. So he reworked the song, and he recorded it specifically for this CD.
Okay. So let's go through the lineup. We have Carrie Newcomer.
We have Carrie Newcomer.
Henry Lee Summers, which you just mentioned. Carl Story. You're going to have to double check.
Krista Dieter.
Thank you. Better you than me.
Who I found through Carrie Newcomer.
Mm-hmm. Mutual Kumquat.
Mutual Kumquat's an awesome band.
Found it's a great name.
It's awesome. Yeah, they sound a lot like James Taylor. Have a very popular on the college circuit, mm-hmm. especially in the peace movement.
Jenny DeVoe.
Everybody knows her.
We all know Jenny. Jeff DeHurt.
He and I were writers at the Sagamore together.
Oh, okay.
So that's where we hooked up.
Soul Shine.
Exactly. They've worked with Carl Story and Henry Lee.
Right. Frank Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Phelps. Ann McWilliams, which we also know as well. Luke Austin Daugherty. Daugherty, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're the guest. The Trust Project, Justin McHaney.
McElhaney,
thank you. Matt, you do that one.
Matt Hanker. And the Walkaways.
And the Walkaways, Dark Matter Halos. Mandy Marie Luke, Dancing Nancy's, and Patchwork. And I would say much, much more, but that's all of them.
That's all 19 of them, exactly.
Now, how much time did it take for you to get from getting in contact with these people and getting officially written okie dokies for the compilation?
Well, the joy of doing this is that I had no idea what I was doing when I started. You know, I am not musically inclined. You know, I'm not a music critic. I have no musical talent. I don't sing in church. I mean, I don't, you know, I
right.
have nothing. I just appreciate music. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have a clue what I was doing. So I sat down with Patchwork and we plotted out some of it. They headed me kind of in the direction of, okay, who could I send it to get it produced? Who could I get the CD actually made from? Then Soulshine actually attends my church, so I talked to them, mm-hmm. found out they had a home studio. Bingo! You know, suddenly I have the ability to put together a CD. So probably late last year I started thinking about it. Shortly after the new year, we really started contacting artists, and it just blossomed from that.
Okay. Now, how many of these folks did you know prior to going in, and how many new friends did you make along the way?
Oh, I probably knew probably at least half of them myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had connections with most of the others. Folks like the Trust Project, which is a Texas band. It's a Texas Christian band. I knew a music critic, and I emailed her. I'd met her on MySpace, and I said, do you know anyone who would do this project? She emailed me the information for Trust Project. I contacted them. They said yes.
See, MySpace can be used for good.
MySpace rocks, I think. I mean, if you see the CD cover, which is a very nice photo of a really beautiful young girl, that's a Facebook friend who I've never met. She lives in Canada. This is her daughter.
And she's donated this.
And she donated the photo, and the photo's inside.
Wow.
So social networking is awesome.
The trust of good people. The kindness, you always depended on the kindness of strangers.
Exactly. That's the Tenderness Tour message right there.
Now, not only is this a combination of items, because this is only not only is this a really good compilation of mostly local artists, there's a few from outside mm-hmm. the state, but also for the cause itself.
Exactly. 100% of the proceeds will benefit the Tenderness Tours organizations this year. They are the Indiana Coalition Against Domestic Violence, the New Community Project, which is an international organization that actually has the Give a Girl a Chance program that mm-hmm. provides educational opportunities for girls around the world, and a program that I'm working on starting myself, which is the Young Peacemakers Film Festival, to empower youth to make a difference in the world through the use of film.
All right, tell us, now October 7th, you got a new series of events coming up.
Exactly. We actually had a kickoff concert in early summer that featured several of the artists. Let's see, I'm trying to think who else showed up there. Jenny DeVoe was there, Jeff DeHurt was there, Soulshine was there, Frank Bradford showed up, Luke and Ann were both there, Patchwork was there. We are kicking off the Tenderness Tour with a concert in Terre Haute, which is where I start wheeling this year,
mm-hmm.
With a concert at Coffee Grounds. It's a free admission concert, so if you know anyone's in Terre Haute or knows someone in Terre Haute, come on down. Coffee Grounds is donating proceeds from the drinks. We'll take a donation. We're benefiting the Council on Domestic Abuse in Terre Haute. So along the Tenderness Tour route, in addition to, you know, benefiting my main three organizations, we're also doing benefits for local organizations. So I really want people to realize that they can make an impact locally and globally. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we'll do. And let's see, Yearbook Committee 73 will be performing at that concert. And they have an awesome sound.
Matthew Soucy with music producer Richard Probst. For more information about this album and the causes it helps, go to tendernesstour.com. Again, tendernesstour.com. Let's go ahead and listen to the song Geodes by Carrie Newcomer. It's the first track on the Give a Girl a Chance album.
Though you can't always tell one from another, and it's best not to judge a book by its tattered cover, I've found when I tried or looked deeper inside, what appears unadorned might be wondrously formed. You can't always tell, but sometimes you just know. Round here, we throw geodes in our gardens. They're as common as the rain, corn silk in July. Unpretentious browns and grays, a stain of Indiana clay. They're what's left of shallow seas, glacial rock and mystery. And inside there shines a secret brightest promise. And all these things that we call familiar are just miracles clothed in the commonplace. You'll see if you try, in the next stranger's eyes, a god walks around in muddy boots, sometimes rags, and that's the truth. You can't always tell, but sometimes you just know. Some say geodes were made from pockets of tears, trapped away in small places for years upon years. Pressed down and transformed till the true self was born, and the whole world moved on like the last notes of a song. A love letter sent without the return address. Judge a book by its tattered cover. I don't open them to see folks round here just like me. We have come to believe there's hidden good in common things. You can't always tell, but sometimes you just know. You can't always tell, but sometimes you just know.
Sharon.
Travis.
Boo.
Ah! Ah! I didn't realize you were wearing a costume.
Well, it
I'm
is
very
that time
afraid.
Of year. It is
that. Help me!
Sounds like you're melting. Well, we've got plenty of scary things and not so scary things too. I know it's not Halloween yet, but you know the whole month of October there's a lot of cool stuff.
That's right.
That we can talk about on.
What'll
we do?
Boo.
Oh. Hey, now I know that next week you've got an interview about the Indianapolis Arts Center's Day of the Dead.
I do indeed.
And I know that that's one of your favorite events and you
it
love
is.
That and stuff. But I did want to mention there's actually a Day of the Dead themed art show that's taking place right now at Healing Arts Indiana called Rites and Ephemera. And in fact, it just opened this weekend and features about 9 or 10 local artists. And this is, again, at the Healing Arts Indie Gallery. And the show is called Rites and Ephemera.
There is no such thing as too much
Day of the Dead artwork.
Not at all.
In
and
my book.
No, not at all. And this is down on South Meridian Street, 805 South Meridian, and features a number of, as I mentioned, artists, including Leticia Alvarez. Some really cool artwork will be down there if you can't wait for Day of the Dead at the Art Center.
And an awesome postcard. I love that.
It is cool, isn't it?
Hey, my next event has not a single thing to do with El Día de los Muertos, unless you count reaching diverse audiences. That's part of what you will learn about doing if you attend the Next Audiences Summit. Now, I want to put in a personal experience plug for this. This is a fabulous event. It is a partnership between the Arts Council of Indianapolis and Next Generation Consulting. The first Next Audiences Summit was a couple of years ago, and I went. It's a two-day event, and it is chock full of amazing speakers, each one better than the last, and ideas that you can take back to your organizations, whether you are a staff member, a board member, a volunteer. It's all about it's essentially all about developing the next generation, those people who are 20 to 40-year-olds. However, here's the little secret that I don't know if the Arts Council or Next Generation Consulting, Rebecca Ryan, who you've introduced.
She's been on Art of the Matter before.
She has, more than once. But I don't know if they'll tell you this or not, but I'll give you the secret. Most of the marketing and promotion ideas that you get at this conference apply equally to people over age 40. So go if you're interested in marketing the arts and culture, and you can get more information on marketing in general. Yeah, you can get more information on either the Arts Council's website or Next Generation Consulting's website. The event, I should tell you, is October 15th and 16th, so it's next week. Go quickly and check it out and make sure there are still spaces available. But it's Next Audiences Summit, October 15th and 16th, and it's fabulous.
Cool. Something I'm pretty excited about coming up a little bit later this month is the Philadelphia Dance Company, also known as
Philadanko.
They are performing at Madam Walker on Saturday the 17th. And if you've never seen them, they are fun. Talk about high energy. It's a 50-member ensemble, and they blend ballet and jazz and modern dance with African-American-based movement. They're obviously out of Philadelphia, and they are cool. And they're celebrating their 40th anniversary, and they're doing a tour, and if you've never had a chance to see them, now is certainly the time. In fact, this production is going to feature some different work, including some work from choreographers from Alvin Ailey's Dance Theater, as well as some other great choreographers. Again, Philadanko at the Madam Walker. Basically, if you like any type of dance, you'll like
absolutely
them. I mean, everything that they combine together on Saturday the 17th. That'll be a lot of fun.
Excellent. If you're listening to us on Friday night, you have to be so glad if you don't already have this on your schedule. You still have time to add this to your calendar for tomorrow. What is it you say? It's the original and fabulous German Fest at the A, the Athenaeum. If you're listening on Saturday
with
night,
dog races.
It's probably too late. I know! It starts out with Meister Wins at noon, as well as the Indianapolis Manor Corps. There's a yodeling contest at 1, Young Actors Theater presentation at 1, and at 2, there's dachshund racing. Now, I have never met a dachshund who took direction very well, so I, for one, can't wait to see that. Performances throughout the afternoon, including one at 3 by the Athenaeum Pops Orchestra in the Beer Garden, Polka Motion from 4 to 6, and then the sort of premiere event with the Beatles cover band 1964 at 7:30. That's on Saturday night. So if you're hearing us on Friday night, you can still probably score a ticket for that. If you're hearing us on Saturday night, make plans to go next year.
There you go.
Athenaeum.
I'm looking forward to that wiener dog race.
I know.
Oh. Hey, you know, Sharon, I want to let people know, because a lot of people ask us, well, how do we get information on your calendar of events?
Yeah.
Great way to do it. Go to the FYI website. If you look under radio and you look under local shows, there's a page for Art of the Matter. And on that Art of the Matter page on the WFYI.org website, there's a place where you can submit information.
Absolutely.
Now, what I want to let you know is make sure you submit at least a couple weeks in advance, if not more, because we do try to produce things ahead of time and plan for things. Mm-hmm. The more time you can give us, the better. Mm-hmm. And when you submit something, make sure you include, the date and the time and the location, all the stuff you'd expect, but also give us a description of what it is the event's about. You know, we get a lot of submissions, and so, if you just put on a website or say, check this out, well, we need a little bit more than that. So sell us on it, but we're more than happy to love to get submissions off the website to let us know what's going on around town.
Absolutely.
Something else going on around town.
What do you got?
Well, there's some really fun dance performances this month. And I just mentioned Philodanko, but Gregory Hancock always does something cool for Halloween.
I'm looking at the title of it, and I'm a little
casket
worried.
Casket Girls. It is their modern goth alternative vampire ballet that only Gregory Hancock can do. Obviously not your grandmother's ballet. Described as Moulin Rouge with dancing vampires, nuns, romance, love, and murder. And all set to music from...
You're making that up.
I'm
Show
not
me that.
Making this up. And it includes music from Mozart to Nine Inch Nails. So... I love Gregory
Where are they
Hancock.
Doing that?
They're doing it at Pike Performing Arts Center on October 29th and 30th.
Can we go in costume?
I think it would be encouraged. Yeah. It sounds like a ton of fun. It's true. That's what they wrote. Dancing vampires, nuns, romance, love, and murder.
The casket girls. Oh, dear Lord. We do live in an interesting city. All right. I know we've been focusing on Halloween because it's the next calendar that makes a big commercial splash. But I want to talk about that one that's even later in a little bit colder weather. Why? Because Stage Actors Workshop is holding auditions for A Christmas Carol. The traditional play. No goth elements as far as I'm aware, or Moulin Rouge meets Dickens or anything like that. It's straight ahead, Christmas Carol. Auditions are Sunday, October 18th at 3, and Monday, October 19th at 7, and Wednesday, October 21st at 7. It's an adaptation. It's a one-act family-friendly stage adaptation, meaning you can take little kids and not worry about them being too restless. You can find out more by contacting, this is an email address, saw_theater, that's theater, at yahoo.com. saw_theater@yahoo.com. Find out more about auditions for Stage Actors Workshop's production of A Christmas Carol.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Hey, and this is, Sharon, I promise, my last Halloween-inspired dance thing I'm putting on the calendar this week.
No. There has to be more. Keep
going. Well, there are more. On the 30th and 31st, Phantom of the Opera, the Indiana Ballet Company is presenting their Phantom of the Opera, which they are known for, and they are doing this at the Madam Walker. So that should be a lot of fun as well. It's just tons of great, interesting dance going on this month.
And interesting music as well. This next item, though it's close to Halloween, is not Halloween themed. It's actually more, it's a love story. It's called The Flame of Love. It's on October 25th, and it's a presentation of Storytelling Arts of Indiana. But the person you're going to hear from is not just a storyteller. He's a musician. He is Celtic harpist Patrick Ball, and he's bringing along his band, The Medieval Beasts. It's a performance based on the legend of Tristan and Isolde, and it's called The Flame of Love. It's on October 25th at the Basile Theater at the Indiana History Center, newly reopened, and you can find out more about that at storytellingarts.org.
Cool. Hey, up in Carmel, there's a whole new series that is actually an outdoor jazz series. Now, summer may be over, but there's some beautiful fall days left. And so on October 11th, Carl Hines is playing. October 18th, Wendy Reed and Blair Clark on the 25th. And this is all in the Carmel Arts and Design District, the Jazz on the Monon Family Concert Series. And so free afternoon concerts every Sunday afternoon through the rest of October. And they're going to take place in the grassy area that's located on the southwest corner of Main Street at the Monon Greenway. And the concerts are from 1 to 4 every Sunday. So free concerts when the weather's good. Go out and enjoy some jazz on the Monon.
Love that. If you're looking for an indoor event, the fundraiser for the Violin Competition of Indianapolis is coming up again, and it features Sylvia McNair. She is a 2-time Grammy Award winner and acclaimed interpreter of the Great American Songbook. She'll be singing selections by Sondheim and Leonard Bernstein for you at Viva il Violino. It's at the Conrad Hotel on Friday, October 23rd, 6:30. Cocktails and a silent auction, 7:45. Dinner and entertainment. It's a black tie event, and you'll probably want to go to violin.org pretty soon to reserve your tickets for that. RSVP date is October 15th, so that's coming quickly.
And the last thing that I have is something a little different to highlight. It's a performance of the Met live in HD. This is actually the fourth season they've been doing this, and it starts this weekend in theaters all around the country. They're starting this weekend with Tosca, and there's lots of other great operas. It's a really unique experience to be able to see the opera from the Met live on a big screen here. If you want to get the whole schedule for all the different operas throughout the year, because they do go throughout the spring at many different movie theaters on weekend afternoons. Best thing to do is just Google live at the Met in HD, and you can get the whole list and type in your zip code, and you'll find the theaters in town that are showing that.
We have more stuff. We can't be out of time.
Very good. Well, I know it's been a long calendar. There's still so much stuff, but we are out of time. Sharon, we will be back next week with more on
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
The Writers' Center of Indiana is a community-based literary organization that offers classes for writers at any level. The center's executive director, author Barb Shoup, came into our studios to talk with Travis DiNicola about their upcoming classes, presentations, and some changes they've recently gone through.
Barb, it's always great to see you. Welcome back to Art of the Matter.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So I want to, I'm really excited actually about talking about S.J. Rosen, because you know we've been talking so much about Balshurkon, and we're going to get to that in a minute because she's one of the writers who's going to be here, and I know she's doing some work with you at the Writers' Center. But I want to ask you, how are things at the Writers' Center? You guys have gone through a lot of changes lately, and so what's the update? Where are things with you guys?
You know what? Things are good at the Writers' Center. We had a tough time at the first of the year, like a lot of people did, because everything kind of crashed in all around us, as it did for others. In a weird way, it was probably the best thing that could have happened to us, because we really had to just stop and take stock of everything that we were doing and trying to do, and to look at what was possible given the resources that we had. And so we did that. Mm-hmm. Probably we wouldn't have done that otherwise. So we pared back on the things that were not so successful or cluttered up our minds, and concentrated on the things that we know that we do well, which are classes. Mm-hmm. We'll have our gathering, which I'll talk about a little more later, a gathering of writers, which we have every year, and that's very important. And we were even able to add a new program, which is a series of lectures that are sponsored by the Clues Foundation, Alan Whitehall Clues Foundation, called Be a Better Writer. So those are our literary programs, and we're really excited about them. We're working on a website, entering slowly but surely the 21st century, because that's where everything is these days, and we're excited about the kinds of possibilities that we're going to be able to offer members new things, new reasons to be a member, and some fun stuff, too. And on the other side, we have our outreach programs, which are really dear to my heart because, of course, I'm really a teacher. Always love to work with young people particularly. But we're actually working with senior citizens and young people on a series of memoir projects, some of which have been funded by the Ephraimson Family Foundation, which has been wonderful, and some others that unfortunately are slipping my mind at the moment. This summer, we did a girls' school project that was a partnership with Very Special Arts of Indiana. So those are great.
Well, congratulations. Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks. Sounds like you're doing as much, if not more, as
we
ever.
Actually are doing more, yeah. Only we're pared down.
And I know you're also relying on a lot of volunteer help, too.
We have a wonderful board, and our board members have really stepped up. We have people, helping us work on grants. We have a wonderful treasurer who's done a lot of work and is so wonderful that he even told me, if I get confused, he will say it to me in haiku. Now, he hasn't had to do that yet, but he's willing. So our board's been wonderful,
That's great. Of
really taking on very specific tasks to help out. And we have some good volunteer help, too.
Well, it's really good
very
to see
lucky.
That you're not just surviving, but thriving.
You know, we are thriving, and I love the Writer's Center. I've said this many times, but I began writing at the Writer's Center myself. I don't know what I would have done had I not had that option available. And I think it's a wonderful thing for it to be out there. This morning we had a class at the Writer's Center, and it was called Show Don't Tell, and we had about six people sitting around, just talking about that very basic but very difficult aspect of writing, which is how do you show the reader, or how do you use detail to make the reader come to the conclusions you wanted him to come to instead of telling it all.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lively discussion and a good exercise, and there's stuff like that going on all the time.
Tell me about the Gathering of Writers, because that's a pretty big event for you.
That is a big event for us. It's our annual program. We've had it for years. This year, it's on November 7th, which is a Saturday, from, 9:30 to 5, an all-day event. It features Alice Fryman, who is a wonderful award-winning poet with connections to Indiana. She taught for many, many years at the University of Indianapolis and is much beloved there by her students that still are her students forever, as the students of good teachers are. She also was one of the founders of the Writers' Center back in 1979. So this is our 30th anniversary year, and it is a really lovely thing to have Alice as the keynote speaker for the gathering this year. Other writers involved this year will be among them Susan Neville, Rob Rabine from IUPUI.
Susan Neville, who just won the Indiana Authors
Did she win?
Award. Yes,
oh,
she did.
Yay.
I was
going to check online about that, and I didn't.
She was the regional winner.
Good for her.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
She's a wonderful writer and a wonderful teacher. We have Kit Ehrman, who's a mystery writer. Patricia Henley, Roger Mitchell, who is long ago connected to the Writers' Center right from the beginning. He lives partly in Bloomington and partly in New York now. So we have lots of wonderful writers. There'll be a keynote address, lots of sessions all day long that people can choose from, and a couple of panels, one on publishing and one, I want to say, on sort of how to put together a writing group that will work for you.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And then coming up actually in the nearer future, because the Gathering of Writers takes place on November 7th, celebrating your 30th anniversary for the Writers' Center.
That's right.
But before that, you are participating in many ways with BallisherCon, the World Mystery Convention that's coming to Indianapolis. We've been talking a lot about here on Art of the Matter. S.J. Rosen, who's a mystery writer known for her really interesting stories in that from book to book, the narrator changes.
Yes, she's about the only person doing that.
Yeah.
She has two main detectives. They're partners, and sometimes they get in arguments, but the books alternate. One from the woman detective, whose name is Lydia Chin, and one from the male detective, who's Bill Smith. And they're very funny, wonderful books full of interesting detail. I happen to know SJ really well, and she is one of the most curious people that I have ever met, and one of the smartest and funniest. So her books are a great excuse for her to delve into all these unusual kinds of areas. Her most recent book, called Shanghai Moon, is set in the, well, it hinges on the Jewish community in Shanghai during World War II. Mm. Now, who even knew there was such a thing? So her books are always, they always have great depth and witty repartee,
well, I know
as they say.
Many people who are big fans of her books are excited.
She's great.
She's coming to Indianapolis.
Yes, and she'll be doing one of our Clues lectures. We're partnering with IMCPL on that, so it will be at Central Library, and that is Wednesday, October 14th at 7 p.m. That's free.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope everyone will come down for that.
That's great. Now, where are most of your events? That takes place at the library, but most of your events, where do they take place? At different locations?
Our classes, for the most part, take place at in the cultural complex of the Art Center in Broad Ripple.
And you still have offices up there?
We have small offices there. We don't have the large space that we used to have, but the Art Center has been incredibly kind to us and very flexible. So they allow us to use a little bit of space there, which we are really grateful for. And that's another one of the things that I have found rather fascinating about the last year, which is the way people in the arts have come together, because we really have had to. So we're very grateful to the Art Center. We have most of our stuff there. The Gathering of Writers will also be there. In the Art Center proper. We've had a few of the Clues lectures there, and then we're also trying to move around a little bit to do some things throughout the community as well.
Now, I know you mentioned that you're working on your website,
but there
is a web address, or is there a web address? Good place to find information?
Yes, you can find it at www.indianawriters.org. You can sign up for the gathering there. You can sign up for classes there, find out about classes there, and other events that the Writers Center has. We have a monthly event on the second Sunday of every month at 7 p.m. at the Cultural Complex, which is directly behind the Art Center, and that's called Evening with the Muse. It's there's always a featured poet and then an open mic, so that's a popular program. Again, that's free and fun.
Now, Barb, before I let you go, I want to ask you, what are you working on these days?
Oh, what am I working on? Well, I'm not working as much as I was before I started being the director of the Writer Center.
Yeah. Do you get any time to write yourself?
Well, I am. I have my early mornings. That's my time. The pages pile up. So I just finished the draft of a novel called Looking for Jack Kerouac, which is about a teenage kid. It's set in 1964, and he goes looking for Jack Kerouac and does not find the Jack Kerouac he thinks he's going to find, because Jack by that time was not in good shape. So I was saying to my students at the Writer Center this morning, they shouldn't feel bad about getting criticized, because I just got the draft back from my agent and lots of work yet to do, which I actually like. I like the revision part the best.
Well, is there a time frame that we can be looking for that?
No, let's just hope that it will be finished within the next year.
Okay.
We'll go from there. It takes a long time to write a novel.
Yeah. Well, when that does get released, we'll have you back on, Barb.
That would be lovely.
Of course. And thanks so much for coming in and telling us all about the Writers Center and everything you're doing there.
Travis DiNicola with the Writers Center of Indiana's Barb Shoup. For more information about the center and their upcoming classes and lectures, visit indianawriters.org. Again, indianawriters.org.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen again to The Art of the Matter next Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 4 p.m.
I'll find out about Branches Breath, a Native American flute ensemble from Indiana that's been traveling the world.
I'll get a preview of this year's Day of the Dead festivities at the Indianapolis Arts Center.
Plus, I'll take a look at a new play at the Phoenix Theater and chat with artist Kyle Ragsdale, who's designing the set of Shipwrecked. And, of course, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What Do We Do? So please listen next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter is made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you and by grants from the Arts Council of Indianapolis and from the City of Indianapolis and by support from the Central Indiana Community Foundation, the Indiana Arts Commission, a state agency, and by the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.